It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Oh, hello, everyone. Welcome once again. You know, I've been 58 years, and this is the don't get me wrong, this is not my last talk. My last talk before the seminar in Las Vegas, the Lexus Hotel. So, if you haven't got your tickets, maybe you should, you know, call tomorrow, because tomorrow's Friday. And if tomorrow isn't Friday, then this program is a recording. At 58 years, I've been striving, first as a private individual in the Institute of Hypnosis, really getting to understand the guts of thinking and what makes people tick and why they can't untick, why they can't unravel, why can't they breathe freely. Well, I discovered that in 7 years of working with people, and in fact, run afoul of the American Medical Association, you know, as much as you run afoul of the IRS or something, there's a certain jealousy that a person of my standing and my lack of education is somehow outdoing them or cheating them, or I'm some kind of charlatan. But that image has been changing over the last 58 years. My appearance on radio was shocking and disturbing, so much so that was in 1960, that, well, I was so controversial that I was at war with the media all the time. Always winning, of course, in a manner of speaking, because the more publicity that I got, the more I flourished and the more I was able to get people. But those days have faded away, and the fairness doctrine was removed and took my edge away, and then commercial radio kicked in, and I kind of disappeared and only reappeared at night. But I'm reappearing again, especially with our new website. You really need to go to that website. It's beautiful. If we have 50 orders, usually 40 of them are brand new. That hasn't been the case for a long time. We've had not much luck with our websites, but we have now, and I think everything's going to be a lot better for me. But I've written 17 books, and I was reading one today called How to Conquer Negative Emotions, and I'm reading the back cover, and everything that's ever gone wrong with your life or ever will is likely caused by your being upset. This is what I talk about all the time. Then, drawn and lost into your thoughts, the wills of half-forgotten people and events operating through a pool of repressed feelings and desires act out their drama through your personality as if they were your very own ambitions and dreams. This was written in 1967. Somewhere in your distant past, there was an original upset or trauma. Then many of them, and one added to the other, as you pass your miserable existence from one manipulator to another. Someone or something that deeply resented changed the course of your entire life, and you can't stop it. After that, you couldn't grow to be your real self and breathe freely. This is the reason, for all the conflicts and unhappiness. The principles that I write about in this book, Finding God in... that's another book. I'm jumping tracks. On this, How to Conquer Negative Emotions. I've written so many books. When I read these books, I say, I didn't write this. I couldn't write it. I'm going to read you something in a little bit when I take my first call. But the principle of this particular book and all the others, but this one in particular, is to help you uncover and neutralize the programming of your past by conquering, resolving the negative emotions in the present moment. Each present moment, there's magic there. I claim that the present holds the key to the past and future, and that to continue reacting to cruel authority, a sort of a chain of them, you know, they go on to infinity until you die, in an infantile way, as you did when you were traumatized, keeps alive what was implanted into you when you were a child. The book, How to Conquer Negative Emotions, teaches you to live happily ever after. And this is the note by Paul Butter, MD, Princeton, New Jersey. After reading this book, you'll never be the same. It represents to psychology what jet travel to horse and buggy. See? So, I'm not educated. I'm smarter than the educated man. Much smarter. Because I've discovered this for myself. You didn't teach me anything. And you can't teach me anything, you educated nitwits. Excuse me saying that. We'll be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Well, the last thing I said before the break was, so you educated nitwits. Because everybody seems to be in a hurry to get a degree. And so many people got degrees, but they've... I was reading one of the books that you get when you go to school, public school, and the kind of questions they ask you, they're insane. You can't go through that. You can't go through that tribulation. It's what it really is, and come out sane. So no wonder the kids are dropping out. I drop out. I couldn't understand the questions, and I'm not stupid. I'm smart enough to see that the person who wrote those questions, you know, in an attempt to educate them, is demoralizing them, confusing them, and confounding, and make them struggle and feel inferior, uncomfortable. So that the teacher has to help you explain it, and for which there's really no explanation for that, because learning should be fun and not bloody struggle. So I'm going to take my calls, and then I'm going to read to you something from my book. I think you need to listen to this chapter. I really do. It's hard for me to get you to buy my books, so I'm going to read a little bit to you every now and then. But first let me take my first call, Anna. Hello, Anna. What can I do for you?
Hi, Roy. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just had a question. I was wondering if you thought God forgave those who might commit suicide because they're in pain, or if they just died in that pain.
May I suggest you ask a question about yourself and not worry about what happens to others when they do this. I do my best. And I know the horror, what causes people to commit suicide. And it's not all their blame. Because as the Obama administration, if you don't mind me saying so, starts to ratchet up its cruelty and its stress, you're going to see a lot of that. People who have built their lives, for example, in just recently in Australia, there was tremendous brush fires. And... generations of farmers who loved their land and enjoyed their lives, but they were wiped out, and many of them started to commit suicide. And this, in a sense, is in part of where they've placed their values and their sense of worth. If your sense of worth is money, if your sense of worth is someone's love, if it revolves around that, if your sense of worth revolves around your farm, even if you love it, you cannot build your life upon materiality. Seek first the kingdom and his right way, and all other things will be added. But a number of people are very satisfied, or somewhat dissatisfied, but try hard to find satisfaction, which is addiction. So we're addicted to the, and our identity is springing from the earth around us, the things around us. Let me give you an example of that, shall I?
Okay.
A better example, with Jesus involved here. A man, I don't know if it was Lazarus, I always keep thinking it's Lazarus who asked him this question because it was a rich man. And he says to Jesus, what do I have to do to enter the kingdom? And so Jesus says, the commandments. I'm making it brief to make the point. And he says, well, I do this since a young kid. I said, but no, actually nobody can. Nobody can keep the commandments. Absolutely impossible. And they're not for you to keep, actually, but we'll talk about that later. That's just a side note. He says, but I do this since I was a little boy. He says, so what else do I have to do? He says, Jesus says to this man only, as it applies to him, give all your money away to the poor and follow me. And the man was rich. A man was rich and could not do it. Now, the reason why Jesus said this to this man is because he was built from the outside in. In other words, he was built like an animal, evolves from the external world around him. There's something that went with something. When you revolve your life around a person, place, or thing, and try to derive a sense of worth, glory, happiness from it, and not seek the kingdom so that you are being serviced or serving and being serviced by the God of love. You see where we're going with this? So you've built an inner sense of worth that is totally constructed from outer pleasures and turmoils, trial and suffering, but always building a sense of pride. And that pride, when all is lost, when a man loses all his fortunes and all his sycophants around him, he has nothing left, he feels this terrible emptiness.
Yeah, I know, because I'm beginning to see there's a lot of pain in letting go.
Oh, yes, you have to let go, but there's a process of letting go and transferring your allegiance to the light that shows you that that is not the way that I described, that's not the way. And then when you let go, you feel free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is, you cannot find love out there. You can only sit quietly, and well, maybe sit quietly is the way back. But generally speaking, you may, I think you already have, a sense that something's wrong, and that there's a leading spirit that's been following you all your life, trying to tell you, but you had to let you alone to find out for yourself there's nothing out there for you. That doesn't mean to say there's nothing out there.
Right.
Because if you love your car too much, and somebody smashes it, it's like, bends your fender, it's like breaking your arm. You see, if you have a bad hair day, it has a similar effect, you see?
Right.
You see, and if things go wrong, it's almost like something goes wrong with you.
Yeah.
You have to keep your environment perfect. You have to find a way to fix the world around you and adapt to it. But it's always a downward translation, you see?
So do you think God forgives suicide?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
All right. Okay.
But on that basis, now, a person goes to war, there's also a sense of guilt there too. A person hates his father and mother, and goes to war. Maybe he's a young man is a little bit feminine and doesn't have a good dad and too much women in his life, too much love from his mom. He feels a little bit not manly. So that's one of the reasons why the weightlifters many of them are sort of like feminine inside, even homosexuals. No matter how strong, they've compensated with a big body, so everybody sees what they think of as a man. It's really a woman in a man's body. See that?
Yeah.
So you see that we tend to take shape from the environment, including the love of women, the love of mother too much, and being too close to somebody. But being too close to anything, whether it's your dog or anything, is becoming further and further from God. Because you have to get closer and closer and closer to draw up something. You have to develop a greater and greater closeness to people, places, and things. So you're a completely environmental constructed person. And this is a downward, a transcendent. I can't find the right word for it. No, it's not a spiral. It's a word. It's transcendence. It's a downward transcendence. And so, so now with a boy that goes into battle, the hardened young man, the strong young man, does not come back with post-traumatic stress disorder. But a boy who has not dealt with his parents properly goes to war looking forward to becoming brave and becoming a man, which is a good motive. The trouble is not fit. And so about 15 or 20% of the soldiers go to war have troubles enough when they haven't learned to deal with the problems at home. So they carry a weakness and an identity in them that thinks, it makes them think that if they go kill somebody or fight and be brave, that they will become noble and they will become somebody. The trouble is what they meet on the battlefront is more of the same they left behind.
Oh.
Cruelty. See that?
Yeah.
So that those are the ones that get it. And nearly all of them, they're all that way. So now, the ones I can help are the ones who can recognize what I just said to you.
Okay.
And the ones I can't help, I don't reach.
Right.
And they die, and I can't reach them, but I am reaching them now. Because we have a program to help the soldiers, and it's really working beautifully. And men and women are no longer, resorting to the unthinkable. But I'm glad you bring up the question as to whether God forgives. He says, "I shall love whom I shall love, and I shall judge I shall judge."
I see.
So it's up to him. So it's not up to me to say.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, I'm told I've got a page of The Real You. By the way, please God, everything is running smoothly so far, except me, of course. But, I'll make it to Las Vegas, and we'll have an interesting day, hopefully like you've never seen before. And it's going to be my last seminar because I'm not getting younger anymore. And still, I thought last year when I had my operation, I was free from something. And the antibiotics they gave me afterwards set me on a course where I haven't been able to eat properly for 15 months. So, but and all of your immune system is located in the lower bowel, and so that's turned to mush. But that's, in other words, this because the doctor wanted to look inside. He gave me three different antibiotics and shut down my immune system. So I've been struggling to eat for all that time. But you won't notice it when you see me. So I know how I'm making it. But I'm going to give a seminar. And I'm just with that proviso and with that transparency, I'll be there. Okay? So then I look forward to meeting you. And it will not affect what I shall do. Nothing ever does. All right. Now, I always think of even my trials and tribulations as an adventure. I look at what I'm going through as an adventure, a discovery. What am I learning? If I'm not learning anything, I just have to suffer. I'm becoming a stronger man and not becoming better. If you don't become bitter, you become better. That's all there is to it. That's the advantage, even if you die. So if you're not bitter, and you're not hopeless, and you're not lost, there's magic to it. That's the way you exit. No bitterness, no regret. No unforgiven memories. All right. But now that I've spoken to you about the emotions and the subject of resentment and how it becomes the medium for all manner of negative suggestions when you're upset, let us all together consider how this emotion sustains your pride and gives evil the power to use you as a pawn in a devilish conspiracy. You will never be well until you learn to stay calm and in your center, a condition that is necessary to keep out error and suggestion, other than what comes to you from the inner light from which you grow. Realize that resentment is the sole food of pride, as well as the substance of your brutish conditioning, which comes from the environment I was talking about just now. Somehow you have to repent of your anger, and I will show you how that's done, and thus fast from the stimuli that feeds a prideful, brutish existence. And then the light comes shining in, flooding your mind and body with the essence of the light. You will then move and have your being in a positive way, and a whole new beautiful world comes into existence from within you, unfolding like a flower. But from anger and resentment, hate, impatience, hurt feelings, and the like, rises a mist in the mind that blocks the light of understanding from coming through and gives form and direction to a base and gross identity. These unruly emotions not only build pride, but they go on through the portal of our soul to crystallize into the kind of person who will express the will and purpose of Hell's Angel, who is charged to support your pride. That Hell's Angel is inside you and outside you, inside other people. That's how I got there, by resenting evil. And I resent it. It tricks you and comes into you. Every time you become angry, you make a judgment. Anger is the handmaiden of judgment. One can't exist without the other. Like space and time, space can't exist. Matter can't exist without space and space and time can't exist without matter. Same thing. To the degree that you repent of anger, pride ceases to be pride because it cannot continue as pride and repent at the same time. Anger must diminish because it is no longer compatible or acceptable to the repentant soul in his allegiance to the light of good within himself. At this time, the light will come streaming in to purify all memory of sin and to exorcise the things of the darkness. The evidence of everyday judgment that you've ever made is the crystallization of the tempter's nature in you. In other words, you've become like what you have hated. The tempter became your environment, and you became the product of your reaction to that environment. You must no longer hate the sinner. Hate is the sin. Excuse me, I'll say it differently. Hate instead the sin. Because you can effectively hate the sin only by not judging or hating the sinner. You get that? Let me say it again. You must no longer hate the sinner. Hate instead the sin. For you can effectively hate the sin only by not judging or hating the sinner, the one who hurts you. The sin in the sinner tempts you to judge. It then traps you into being just as hateful as the sinner who felt the judgment themselves, and to be filled with the same kind of dark spirit. Have compassion, therefore. Love, don't hate your enemy. Here it is, you see. By not hating or judging. Love, therefore, your enemy, by not hating or judging him. Because you're playing, puffing up like a cobra playing God. That's why. There's your conflict. The act of playing God is judgment, and the act of forgiving is also playing God. You can't forgive somebody without giving them a pass. Human beings can't forgive. So if you don't judge, you don't have to forgive. You become neutral. You don't have to make you. When you learn not to hate, or when you don't fall to the temptation of the world to love the world and be caught up in it, and then end up hating, which then, either way, it's love-hate relationship. Each way, each one of those ways represents a pseudo-God. Means God judges and God forgives. So you judge and you forgive. Or you judge and never forgive. Or you love and never stop loving. So you're the ever-loving God. Or you're the God of hate that's always judging. But you're still God. See, the ego can survive in either one of those. All right. Let me see what we got here. I'll just interrupt my discussion here. I'm reading from page 198 of How to Conquer Negative Emotions. I wonder if I can seduce you to buying a copy of this book. Call my office tomorrow, 800-877-3227, or go to the website and do business online, FHU.com, and support our broadcast. We depend on your donations. Thank you. Now, let's take, how do you pronounce this? Amha. What does that mean? Is that has a meaning to that name?
Yes, Mr. Roy. I called before and I explained to you about this
name.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm from Ethiopia.
I remember you, yes. Sorry about that.
No problem. Yeah. How is everything with you?
Well, I'll make it.
That's great. Mr. Roy, let me make it short. My question is, I listen every night. I live in Las Vegas. I listen to your advice every night, 9 o'clock Vegas time.
Yes.
And every advice you give is very important for everybody. And it helps to me a lot through my life. But my question is, mostly you say about excitement and sadness situation. For example,
yes,
when somebody gets something to make him happy, he's excited, happy. And
Hold it there. I get it.
Okay.
Now, here it is very important. Now, so if you win the lottery, if I won the lottery, or someone says, here's $1 billion, Roy, I say thank you. It's very nice of you. I appreciate it. I'll do something with it. I'll save some soldiers. I'll save our veterans. I'll do something with it and take a little for myself so I can have a nice car or something. But
yeah.
I'm not going to get excited. Because you see, when we are lacking it, when we're empty, and someone gives us, even if it's only a kind word, there's a danger in the kind word that you might be seduced and lifted up by that, emotionally lifted up.
Yeah.
But when you're lifted up, you always fall from grace. You're actually coming down for the kind word. You're coming down for it because you're giving somebody your emotions. You're giving them the keys to your emotions and the lock to the door so that you can't get away from giving yourself to them to hold on to their love. Because the minute you get the love that is false, you become separate from God. You start to grow differently.
Okay.
See that? So,
yeah, yeah,
so you must avoid. You must avoid here in the Old Testament as Abraham was dying. Was it dying? Oh, I think it was Abraham. I forget. It's either Abraham or one of the 12 sons. I forget which book it is. I have to look this up, but. The dying prophet says to his sons, if people praise you, do not fall to praise. If you have to suffer criticism and rejection and cruelty, do not fall to judgment. You live between these two. You must walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you will fear no evil. So if, for instance, I was on a cruise ship, not maybe 10, 15 years ago, and I did a seminar on board the cruise ship. And I went on the dance floor. My wife likes to dance, but I think it's sissy for man to dance. So I stand there, and she does all the googling and moving around, enjoying herself. But the music was going through her, and I would keep saying, "Anne, the music is making you move." I can appreciate the music. I know good music and beautiful poetry. I know, you know, what art is, and I appreciate it, even if I'm not an artist, but I can appreciate it. But I don't have to get excited and worship and love and be filled with all kinds of feelings, because I'm already fulfilled. I don't need feelings to be filled. Those who need feelings to be filled are sentenced to death. Well, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you. How long are you going to wait until you come to that place where you're ready for that change that makes everything different? Are you there? Are you ready for that change now? Then here's an idea. I suggest you attend Roy Masters' upcoming Hypnosis of Life and Healing Seminar on Sunday, April 25th, 2010, at the Alexis Park Resort Hotel, located at 375 East Harmon Avenue, Las Vegas. It's the Hypnosis of Life and Healing Seminar with Roy Masters. Your mind can make you well. This will be a seminar like no other. You can go to FHU.com right now and get your ticket online. You must get your ticket before the event because there's only room for 300 people. So go to FHU.com right now and get your ticket today. The doors will open at 8 a.m. The all-day seminar starts at 9 a.m. with a break for lunch. The donation is $150 or more per person. You must get your ticket in advance. This is a fundraiser for the Foundation of Human Understanding. Your receipt will be your ticket. Present your receipt at the door. You can call the office at 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours, Monday through Friday, West Coast time. Or write to the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Make your checks payable to the Foundation of Human Understanding with full name, address, phone number, and email. If you would like to help sponsor someone else to attend the seminar, your donations will save lives. So if you donate more than $150 for the seminar, part of that donation will go to sponsor another person. For hotel overnight reservations, call 800-582-2282. To prepare for this seminar, Roy Masters suggests the following books: How Your Mind Can Keep You Well, How to Conquer Negative Emotions, The Hypnosis of Life, The Secret Power of Words, and How to Survive Your Parents. This is a rare opportunity to see Roy Masters in person and speak to him about your personal issues and get past them once and for all. Don't let this opportunity go by. If you're ready for the magic and the power of the truth, this is where you want to be. Stop letting the world that you've lived in continue living through you. Begin your new journey. Take that step. Attend this seminar. You will be glad you did. Your life will change. Everyone around you will be affected in the positive. It's the Hypnosis of Life and Healing Seminar with Roy Masters, Sunday, April 25th, 2010, at the Alexis Park Resort Hotel, 375 East Harmon Avenue in Las Vegas. Call 1-800-877-3227 right now or go to FHU.com. Make your reservation right now at FHU.com. That's FHU.com.
Resolving just one deadly underlying emotion can restore you to complete health. Doctors know that most health issues like PTSD, depression, and heart problems are anger-based, and treating their symptoms with expensive drugs and surgery is counterproductive. Thankfully, there's a simple exercise called coping strategies that is helping millions of people to turn stresses that were killing them into stresses that are curing them. Under any pressure, this CD works by depriving a variety of morbid symptoms of its angry fuel. Consequently, all emotion-based diseases and addictions wither away all by themselves without struggle or effort on your part. Coping strategies is simply basic training for the mind. $25 cost to civilians allows grants to veterans. Log on to FHU.com, FHU.com, or write Post Office Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, are you still listening to me? Is
Hello?
He still there? Are you still there?
Yeah.
Well, yes. This is Roy. I'm back with you now. Now, I want to give you another example. I know you've had sex before. Right?
Yes, I'm a minister.
I know. But the sex is, for the reason I gave you a few moments ago about not letting the feelings rush over your mind and give you a sense of high, glory, happiness, achievement, conquest. The same applies to sex. even in marriage, the sex is a natural act, but it becomes unnatural if you lose yourself in the feeling like you lose yourself in the music. You need to be objective to yourself when you eat. You need to be objective to the sex act, meaning you can experience the pleasure, you can enjoy your meal, it tastes good, it's delicious, but it's not, oh, it's delicious, oh, dear, really delicious, wow. See?
Yeah.
So you got the, I mean, it's you can't have that feeling from it because it's not meant to provide a fulfillment in the spiritual sense, only in the belly sense. See? And also in the penis sense. See?
Yes.
Because otherwise the penis has all the sense, and you don't.
Oh.
Yeah, you understand that.
I always understand what you say clearly, but
good.
For an average person, for example, let me give you an example. People, when they are sit down eating a dinner, maybe they start making a conversation, raising somebody's name, and maybe they will say, oh, that guy is smart. Or maybe they say, that guy is dummy. So in that conversation, I think it's better not to say anything or judge that person. Is it better just to listen what people say? Well, I mean,
I think when you have your dinner and you are with people, hopefully you're dealing with you're having dinner with like-minded people, and you enjoy each other's company. And then the food goes to a good place. See? But if you're eating your dinner like an animal, you can see people how they eat. And if you eat to excess because the more you eat, the more you want to eat because you're using it as a sense of fulfillment, but then you become a fool that's being filled. It's a very slight difference, a very subtle difference between life and death. The way to life, now you eat to live or live to eat. Most people live to eat, live for pleasure, live for sex, it's a smorgasbord. So you look normal if you have a smorgasbord, but you have a little of everything. So you look normal. But then you get fixed on one thing, and then after a while it becomes a fixation to one or two things you find settle down on. Even if it's only judging someone who's dead a long time ago, and you're sitting alone in your room and you're 80 years old and you can't get somebody out of your mind, so you have the theater of your mind keeps playing it back and you keep watching the movie and judging him. And then you die.
Yeah.
So I'm warning everyone that they need to be objective, that you can get much more pleasure out of life if you can transcend the false sense of achievement or happiness that comes from excesses, and that the reason for excesses is the emptiness of the soul for a purpose in life. See, so there's the love of the world. So you have to live in the world, but not of it. You have to eat, and you have to drink, and you have to taste things, and it must taste good or taste bad. That's okay, and you can enjoy it. But there's something about that if you learn to, even music can be beautiful and you can enjoy it, but don't get caught up with it. Ever.
Yeah.
Do not be lifted. Don't let you lose yourself in the pleasure, like you see people playing the piano and they've got their eyes closed and they're almost looking up through their brains into the sky. And so they don't
Yeah.
So that's a form of mental illness.
That's right. That's great. To be honest, Mr. Roy, I mean, as far as I know, you are a very well experienced person. You practice a lot of things in your life. For you, it's very easy to balance all these things. You are, one time, if you remember me, I listened to your old interview, I believe in the 1970 or something like that, 20 years ago. Your voice, what is amazing to me is your voice 20 years ago and your voice right now, it is the same. It is amazing to me.
Would be amazing to you that even though I haven't eaten very much for the last, and I've had all kinds of stomach problems because of the destruction of the lining of my stomach, I think that's what it is, I can still do 350 calories on my walking machine. which is it'd be good for a 50-year-old.
I know. But to be honest, my understanding, the way I see it, for example, somebody is practicing, he go to gym, he's a heavyweight guy, macho guy, but some people, you know, when you hear their voice is weak. I think
of
the
course.
Strong voice is come from a strong spiritual
I'll make a comment on that. You can have an artificial spoil. Now, here's the news. But that's not the strong voice. That's an actor's voice. You see? So there's wrong strong and right strong.
Yeah.
And so wrong strong leads to weakness.
Yeah.
You see? So there's you said something about walk, you know, to be temperate. But the Bible says it, you know, a man must be temperate in all his ways. And I can't remember what led up to that statement. But I wish I could remember the Bible verse of that. But it speaks of something very nice, and that a man must be temperate. If he wants to live forever, he must be temperate in all his ways. You know, a wise man is temperate in all. Temperate means that you know how to deal with everything in a balanced way, because you are fulfilled and know the danger of it. In other words, I know the danger of food. I know the dangers of sex. I know the dangers of praise.
Yeah.
I know the dangers of all the things which are sensual, because all the things that are sensual, people, places, and things, and objects that you hoard, because you have a house full of things because you can't stop buying. You have an addiction to everything. You can have an addiction to surgery, plastic surgery, because you want to keep improving your looks. See?
Yeah.
You can
yeah.
have an addiction to everything because your looks decide how you feel and how people look at you.
Yeah.
And I know these things. These things are only because people lack depth and the true fulfillment. If you have the true fulfillment, you're naturally adverse. Well, maybe that's not the correct word. I'm looking for the right word for this. You'll forgive me while I search my cranium. But you're not compatible with those pleasures. They are pleasures, but you're not compatible in that way.
That's true.
You enjoy a nice steak, fine. And you can enjoy your conjugal relationship, but that's the strongest force of all. But there, even then, you have to be very careful in the midst of the excitement to say to the woman, "I love you." then you've given yourself to that person, and you're dead.
That's right. As you say, Mr. Roy, about plastic surgery. I mean, when somebody wants to a plastic surgery out of God, he make him, which means that person, he need attention, he thinks he looks...
That's right, but you're missing the point. The point is he needs to look good to have the fix, the feel.
Yeah.
And as he gets older, he loses that, or she loses it.
That's right.
See, and it's a good thing we do lose it. It's a good thing we get sick from all our foolishness. And it's a good thing that medicine really can't cure us. Medicine can't cure us from all these excesses and for the addiction, because there's a spiritual component involved, you see? I hope to see you on Sunday.
Oh, yes, sir. I ask permission from my work. They say we don't have people to work, but no matter what it is, I do my best, sir.
Thank you.
I'm ready to see you.
All right. Well, I got to go now, my friend.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. It's always nice. It's always nice to talk to him, because you're talking to someone who's listening, and you're not talking to someone who's scoffing out there. What the hell you do scoffing at me? Why don't you pick up the phone and say you're just full of it? You see, and I'll show you who's full of something, ladies and gentlemen. I'm happy for you to disagree with me, but it hasn't happened in 51 years. I'm getting lonely. All right. Jay in Oakland, California. Hello, Jay.
Yes, Roy. You know, I love what you say. I've been listening to you for a lot of years, and I've kind of recommitted myself to your teachings, the meditation, but I find that for some reason, I guess I'm still seeing darkness, and maybe I'm doing something wrong. I don't know.
Well, so how's your lifestyle?
Well, work-wise, not a lot of work out here in the Bay Area for a first year painter.
But how is your life? I mean, how would you gauge your life, you know, from 1 to 10?
In terms of quality, I would say probably a 6, maybe a 5. Not what I would want, no.
But you'd want it to be better.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Oh well, but 5 is a bad score.
You're not
getting it. I'll give you another reason. If you say 5, you have satisfaction from the world. When you say from 1 to 0, from 0 to 10, my life is, I don't see any purpose in it right now. But the fact that you said 5 means you have too much pleasure. You're still going after what you think will fulfill you. And you have, in other words, it should be that your fulfillment in life should be 0. Because you're not supposed to get fulfillment from life. You're not supposed to get fulfillment from anything you do except doing the right thing in the right moment for the right reasons and without having to get upset to do it. Because you can still do the right thing for the right reasons and at the right time, but if you have to get upset or if you get a sense of pride doing it, that's a wrong fulfillment. That's a very subtle difference whether you feel good doing something for someone or you just do something for someone because it's natural, like apple tree giving apples. It doesn't feel any loss. It doesn't feel any effort or any loss. Just the natural thing. You do.
Earlier you mentioned about anger and judgment, and I realize that I'm suffering from that, that I suffer from anger.
Well, then that's why everything's dark, and that's why that you've got a certain satisfaction that's false. And therefore, it's never going to be enough because you are going to work towards it. But to the degree that you work towards it, you're working away from the light. You set a bigger goal. You gratify it. While you're moving towards it, you're moving away from the true fulfillment to the false one. When you get there, it is not enough. It feels good for a moment, and then you think, "No, I have to try harder. I'm never going to be happy. I've got to try harder and harder and set bigger goals." See, so you've got to be very careful. Narrow is the way and few are those that find it. And in America must find this. All of us must find that if we're going to be free. Well, Sunday is going to be, please God, a very interesting day for all of us, especially for me. I really can't tell you what's going to happen. It's never the same. But it always gets interesting. And I think this is my last public appearance. I have to deal with some issues, and maybe I'll come back again. Because I'm still pretty strong. I've lost my right hook because I fell down. I tripped over a case in Portland when I was at the scientific meeting. And I hurt my arm, but I got up and walked away. But still there, so I've lost the right hook, but it's coming back, if you know what I mean. So I'm not so full of piss and vinegar as I used to be in that sense. But other than that, I am ready to go on Sunday, and because it has nothing to do with my physical body. If I have a broken leg, if I'm dying, I'll still do the same job. Not that I am, of course. But still, it's spiritual. So it doesn't depend upon physical strength. Can you hear me? I'm 82. And what I do does not depend on physical strength. Things happen through me. Everything that's ever happened to me in life, and I've dealt with it correctly, is brought around a positive result. And the last 30 years of my life, when I got poisoned in the ocean, set in motion all the symptoms people who don't live right get. But I was living right because the poison, well, just call it poison for the time being to make it easy. And then it led to heart problems and then a heart operation, which failed. But then it didn't fail because grew new capillaries, Wow. You know, and it goes, there's a whole stream of things like that. And each thing, each situation and trauma, or I learned to rise above it and understand what doctors didn't, and to recover in a way that they couldn't help me. And I may need some help from this, maybe. But I'm learning something now about this particular malady I have as a result of the antibiotics, which is unnatural. Because you know, people don't die from antibiotics. It's just a recent kind of thing. But all of you are, to some degree, are dying from it. And so if I can understand, and I'm beginning to understand how this can be fixed, I could save a lot of lives. So I'm God's lab rat, and I'll see you on Sunday.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
All right. Now, before I spoke to the callers, I was reading from a book called How to Conquer Negative Emotions, which is my book. What I've written here is just astonishing. It's hard for me to believe that I can write this, because I can't say it today this as good as this. Maybe you may think otherwise, but let me hear it from you, your comments on it, if you like. I said, you must no longer hate the sinner, but hate instead the sin. For you can effectively hate the sin only by not hating or judging, that is, the sinner. The resentment is involved in that. The sin in the sinner tempts you to judge them, and then it traps you into being just as hateful as they are, and to become fulfilled with the same kind of dark spirit. So the reason for that is because man and woman are made in God's image, and therefore the spirit that possesses them, that tempts you, is not them. But it's made a home in them because they have reacted to another, not them, but when they were innocent. And the shock has changed them into that, but they can't stop themselves from hurting you. So if you could hold up a light and patient endurance, you have a chance of curing them, redeeming, bring them to redemption, B, driving them up the wall, because there's nothing more painful to a wicked person that they don't get their daily fix from finding someone they can demoralize. They live from your failing, in other words. So therefore, have compassion. That's what it means. Love your enemy by not hating or judging him, because you are going to become like that person, and you may not see it. And you'll be hated by your own children, and that's the curse. You should not, therefore, you should not, however, force yourself to like that person, which is a form of slavery, as I said yesterday. In other words, you can't, if you get upset with the person, and you become like them, you may not want to be like them, but you have become that way, and you sense it. But the way you can, only way you can overcome it with your own human efforts is to try to head the hate off at the pass by going along to get along and pleasing them. And this is what liberals do, and this is why we have wars. Because if you start doing that, you think you're loving that person, but you're actually giving yourself, you know, feeding yourself ahead of the anger to ward off the anger. But then the person becomes a beast and an advantage taker anyway, and you end up being just the same. So observe the sin or the error, yes, but be aware of what it is. But don't condemn the person who commits it. In this way, you starve or defeat the evil or error operating in that person. Feeling no feedback from his temptation or her temptation, the error grows weak, feels watched. Let go of the victim. How your beloved enemy will respect you for this, or you'll scare the dickens out of him. By hating the sinner, you are really in accord with the sin in him. To be tempted to hate, you must first have the ego need to judge, seeing you have to fall to that judgment. There's something about judging, being upset with somebody, that cause something unholy to sit in the place of the holy inside you. And this is pride. And pride is a spirit. And pride is at war with God, so you feel uncomfortable. Conflict. So how do you deal with the conflict? The inferiority. That's the fear you feel. No, what you do is you look for something to judge now. Secretly. Maybe not openly, because you're not strong enough to take anybody on. So your whole secret is secretly judging, and smiling at the same time. And going along to get along. Hating that person's guts, but enjoying the judging. You're dying. And you're going to get cancer or something. So, by hating the sinner, you're really in accord with the sin in him. To be tempted to hate, you must have an ego need to judge. That's the need to sustain the sense of worth. Something's got in you from the outside, and now it needs more of the same because you've become like the thing. And you have to look for victims, even though the victim doesn't know you're judging, you're getting a pleasure from it, a perverse pleasure that you never let on. Why you let that person take advantage of you, and then you judge them. And the person doesn't know he's taking advantage. And you may actually project the fact that he's taking advantage, and they're not. But are you still going to judge him? Are you judging me? I wouldn't if I were you. Anyway, this is a book called How to Conquer Negative Emotions. I've only read 2-3 pages. Why don't you get a copy? What the hell's the matter with you? How can you sit and not buy this book? How could you have put people on pedestals and buy their books, and they just say nothing? You listen to talk show hosts, and all you get from the book is what they've said and you've heard before. Ah, but you feel important. You have that person's book. You're a connoisseur of music. You have that person's record, and you have something to talk about. It's a conversation piece. Yes, yes. I don't know how people talk about stuff. I can't even imitate it. But anyway, why don't you get this book? I have other books. And just open any page. And it reads very well, meaning it will help you. Didn't that all help you when you understand the problem? Or you didn't want to understand it? It's all with you. That's what I say. You don't want to understand? It's easy to understand what I'm saying. If you don't understand, nice knowing you. Or maybe I'll see you in the future sometimes, all broken. And if I'm around, I'll help you. Okay, we'll be right back. Actually, call my office, 800-877-3227. And the website is fhsheet.com. Oh, yeah. Now, I think I'm going to give the program over to David at this point, because I really have to do some packing. I have to leave in the morning. And I've been loath to do it. I got to take a whole bunch of things with me that ordinary people wouldn't take. So, David, is ready to do this program, I hope?
Let me talk to you in just a moment.
Oh, well, you better let me know about just a moment, yes or no.
Actually,
no.
We just talk
okay.
A moment.
Well, anyway, whatever happens, you could put a tape on, because I do need to get ready. We have to leave. We have to leave in the morning to go to Las Vegas, and we're going to be greeted by an entourage of good friends, and I think we're going to have a nice time. So, if you need a ticket, if you can't afford it, if you're living in Las Vegas, may I suggest you call my office? There's a pool of money left over from people who graciously left financed your experience tomorrow. If you have great need, please, only if you have great need, and like what I'm saying, be there, and be the guest of that person that loves you, and then you'll never know them. All right. The number is 800-877-3227. 800-877-3227. The website, fhu.com. You can listen to the Be Still and Know by phone, meaning if you want to get better, you don't have to buy anything. The phone number is 24 hours, 7 days a week. 206-315-4836. Advice line by phone, 206-400-2856. Or call my office if you didn't catch those numbers. Thank you very much. And David may or may not be here